Yeah, let's do this. All right. In studio with Kevin, it is 1 o'clock, CKMS 102.7 FM, Radio Waterloo. You can also listen on Rogers Digital 946 and worldwide, radiowaterloo.ca/listen. I have with me Rose Cora Perry and The Truth Untold. How are you?
I'm doing just fine. How are you doing today?
Oh, I'm doing much, much better now that I have a great, easy connection with you. We're live. The music, the dials are moving like they should. So now I'm super happy.
Well, in all fairness, I mean, it's happened a couple times now. I've been electrocuted while simultaneously singing and playing guitar. So I'm so used to technical difficulties
at this
point. It just stops phasing you at a certain time.
Well, yeah, but electrocution's not good. What, did this happen due to rain or what happened?
No, it happened, unfortunately, due to sound people being hired who were perhaps not familiar with the venue, or I guess perhaps not fully up to speed in terms of how to properly ground their cables. And so every time I went to strum my guitar and put my mouth near the microphone to sing, I was getting zapped through the mouth. And that's not a pleasant experience, let me tell you.
I would say, yes. That's crazy. Well, I hope that doesn't happen anymore to you.
Kind of the nature of rock and roll is that you just have to learn to keep rocking past it. These things happen, right?
Yeah, I guess. But still, I think that's, if you can just get through it, I think that's pretty amazing. So we'll talk about it again, but right off the show before I want to make sure we get it out, is you are playing in town tonight and then again next week. So tell us about tonight's show, where it is, and let's and the other one, and then we'll chat some more.
Absolutely. So yes, as you said, it's two weekends back to back where we are invading the Kitchener-Waterloo area. Really excited about that. Tonight we are playing an amazing charitable event in the memory of Joe Strummer of The Clash. It's called Strummer Fest. And what it is it's basically a celebration of all these phenomenal independent bands with the proceeds being raised going towards suicide prevention organizations. So amazing cause, really, really phenomenal music. It's taking place at Waterloo Town Square, which is 75 King Street South, and we are taking the stage tonight at 9, but it goes on all day today. I believe it starts, I think, at 2 or 3, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
It starts at 2, so just 1 hour from now, and it's also taking place all day tomorrow. So again, we're taking the stage tonight, as I said, at 9 p.m., really excited to be taking part in such an important cause. For anybody who's familiar with my work, mental illness and mental health issues are something that are very, very near and dear to my heart. So it just seemed like, the perfect marriage for an event for us to get involved in. And then next week on Friday, August the 10th, which happens to be my birthday, pretty cool. At 5:30 p.m., we are taking the stage at Riverside Park for Cambridge Rotary Rib Fest. It will be our first time playing this Rib Fest, so we're really excited to be doing that as well. Once again, of course, great music, lots of great food from my understanding, vendors, kids activities, and again, we'll be taking the stage next Friday, August 10th at 5:30 p.m. and Cambridge Rotary Rib Fest is at Riverside Park, which is 49 King Street West in Cambridge.
Awesome. So that's pretty exciting.
Mm-hmm.
So for sure.
Sorry if you hear what sounds like a crying baby in the background. My Siamese cat is being a little bratty.
Oh, awesome! Well, that's okay. We can bring him or her on the air and get some secrets, get some dirt.
He definitely has a lot of insight into my personal life.
Yeah. Okay. So if we hit a lull, then I'll be like, okay, cat. What's the cat's name?
His name is Darcy Retzky. He's named after the original bass player from the Smashing Pumpkins.
Oh, my goodness. Okay. Wow.
He's looking right at me as I said that. He knew I was referring to him. He's very, very smart and devious.
So, does he... any stories about Billy Corgan or no?
Well, he can't really reveal such things as, they're kind of top secret things from the road. He doesn't want to get in trouble, have any legal forces come towards his way, right?
That's fair, yes. So that's exciting. So tonight, tonight at Waterloo Public Square, and both concerts, of course, are completely free to the public. So really no reason not to get out. The weather's going to be fantastic today, and I'm praying for next week, but tonight,
and they're both all ages too, which is
both all ages, yeah.
Really, really love, because I mean, why not be able to share the power and the beauty and just the love of music with everybody? It doesn't matter what age you are; you can always enjoy a great live experience and a live concert. So yeah, we love playing all ages events.
Awesome. So I've got like a million different questions, but you take us where we want to go. So my first question, because I don't know a ton about you, mm-hmm. but I know you're in London now. Now, is that where you're from originally?
Yes, I am a born and raised Forest City dweller. I grew up in the mean streets, not really. I grew up in the West End in Byron, which is just near the outskirts where Kamoka and Mount Bridges and Delaware, all those little surrounding towns are.
Okay.
I went to Roman Catholic High School and elementary school.
Yeah.
And then when I entered my adult years, I moved to the opposite end, the east end of the city, and I attended Fanshawe College as well. As UWO.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's all. And at what point along the way there did you end up in a band?
So my musical journey is kind of awkward and bizarre. I never really aspired to be a rock musician. It just kind of happened. So by that, what I mean is that when I was about 4 years old, my parents enrolled me in classical vocal training just because I showed an affinity and an enjoyment for performing and for singing. And so they thought, you know, might as well see if she can pursue this and if it's something that she enjoys doing. We'll see if there's any talent there. So they enrolled me in classical vocal training, which I did for about 14 years, believe it or not.
Wow.
And then one day in the middle of the summer, I was performing at a local talent show. I was performing Think of Me from Phantom of the Opera. This girl who was a teenager who was also going to my high school at the time, I'd never actually met her before. I guess she was just learning how to play guitar, and she comes up to me after my performance, and she says, you know, we should form a band together. I'm like, I don't know if that's really what I want to do. I kind of had my sights set on Broadway, but after a little bit of arm twisting, I got convinced, and I discovered, in fact, that despite my, I guess, previous elitist notions towards rock and roll and me thinking that classical was the way to go, that, in fact, there was something quite liberating about performing rock music, because
mm-hmm.
it's all about the attitude and connecting with people on a more visceral level, whereas classical music and Broadway music, as much as I love that stuff and I love the technique and I'm glad to have all that training behind me, it's really all about singing by the book and exactly how it's written on the sheet music, and there's not really a lot of interpretation for, you know, personal attitude and emotion to be injected into the song. It's supposed to be sung the way that it was written. Rock is the complete antithesis of that. So when I first started writing my first rock songs and performing at rock shows, and I got heavily involved with the punk scene here by going to, you know, a bunch of shows at Call the Office, it was just like I found something liberating about it and something that made me be able to see that you can connect with people musically on a much, much deeper level than I had previously thought. At the same time, I was also undergoing a lot of struggles in my crazy teenage years, as often most of us do,
mm-hmm.
you know, between having self-esteem issues and bullying and, you know, unfortunately falling victim to an eating disorder and being extremely insecure and all that stuff, that when I first started writing rock music, it became a really, really incredible positive outlet for me to be able to deal with those emotions and that animosity that I was feeling without turning to something like drugs or alcohol, which would have been destructive.
Mm-hmm.
And when I started performing those songs publicly, I found that other people could relate to my messages and what I was going through, and I was relating to them on, as I said, this deeper, more visceral level, and it was like, wow, okay, not only am I being able to find a form of catharsis for myself, but I can reach people, and we can find common ground and break down these barriers of difference, and this is just a really, really beautiful, inspiring thing.
Yeah, that's awesome, and it, as they say, you sort of never look back after that.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, as I said, like, I was kind of, you know, not really the one who you would have seen becoming a rock musician, but it just sort of happened. I think that's kind of how life works sometimes, right? You might have the best laid plans, but then life happens, and it might turn out to be the best thing that ever happened for you, even though you didn't think it was going to be at the time.
Yeah, no, that's fantastic, and it's great to hear too your openness around your struggles and how that's an inspiration for your music. It seems like you know, in the more you know, in the international or sort of big commercial music scene, it seems like in some ways that's just now becoming, now when I say just now, I mean the last couple of years, that performers, some will speak about their journeys and their challenges and what's inspired them. But prior to that, it really seemed like I guess, an underground thing, right? Like, you might, it was very obvious in the lyrics in certain genres like punk or rock and other ones, but it was never really talked about. It was almost like, okay, well, that's music, that's what they're singing, those people are listening to it, but, you know, it wasn't connected to day-to-day reality or publicly connected to day-to-day reality. Have you found that?
Well, I think that just in general, the dialogue surrounding mental health issues, depression, suicide, that kind of thing has really changed in the last couple of years for the better. And I'm really happy to see that, because I think that for a long, long time, I mean, we only sort of saw physical ailments and physical diseases like things like cancer as, you know, being really debilitating. And as terrible as those things are, and as much people as they affect, depression affects probably just as many people, if not more, and can be just as debilitating and can also result in death. And it's just like, we didn't take mental health and mental illness issues as seriously as I think we should have. And so for a long time, I really feel like people felt like they were all alone. I know I certainly did at many times in my life. I felt completely alienated and as though nobody else out there got what I was going through and they didn't take it seriously. And that's a really scary place to be. If you feel like nobody else out there gets you, like, that is terrifying. And that's what leads to people being in crisis and feeling like, well, what's the point? I mean, if you can have, you know, fantasies about having a funeral and nobody attending or nobody caring that, you know, you've passed on, like, that's a very, very scary mindset. So I'm really happy and it's inspiring. And I think it's really positive that we're creating better and bigger dialogue about mental illness, but we certainly have a lot more room to grow. And particular for me is I would like to see the dialogue changed about drugs. I think that, you know, it goes without saying that there has been an ongoing glorification of the sex, drugs, and rock and roll lifestyle for far too long. And, you know, us just kind of brushing off, oh, another rock star death due to drugs as not a big deal. Well, it is a big deal. It's a very big deal. We need to be asking ourselves these questions. First off, why are people turning to drugs? Why do they not have other forms of coping mechanisms that they feel are acceptable or that could be helpful to them? Why are they feeling like this is the solution? What's inspiring this in the first place? Why are drugs so prevalent? Like, I mean, why are we not asking ourselves these questions and trying to bring about change? So I definitely think that we've created a better dialogue and it's definitely inspiring and it's good, but I still think that there's a lot of room to grow. And I mean, unfortunately, in my own life, even in my independent, small scale, you know, musicianship as compared to, you know, a major label band, I've had friends of myself or, you know, people who have inspired me commit suicide or, you know, just completely destroy their lives due to drugs. So as I said, it happens in the big scale as well as the indie scale. And I definitely think that we need to start trying to change the dialogue around that so that it doesn't keep happening and it doesn't keep getting glorified or, you know, minimized and not being taken seriously.
Yeah, no, absolutely. You really, you articulate that really well, because certainly from, you know, speaking from my own generation, if you wish, of being a little bit older, the, you know, that evolution, you know, and I think, you know, who knows exactly, but the feeling I got was that, you know, it may have started pretty innocently, you know, and I'm now talking maybe back in the 60s and 70s, where you had, you know, the Rolling Stones as just as one example of sort of this bad boy image. And so things that were, you know, anti-establishment, whatever they may be, well, then that became cool. So smoking and rock and roll and you know, and drugs kind of, you know, and sex.
Promiscuity.
That's the one, you know, that big word. Yeah.
Yeah. I knew what you're trying to say.
You know, I was trying to appeal to the London audience with my big words. No, I'm just kidding. I hold a personal grudge against London, but it's a very gentle one. So it's okay. We'll get into that in another interview. But you know, so it seemed, I think you're right. I think it may have started sort of innocently in terms of just being, you know, whatever. But it the world changed and got a lot, you know, I don't want to say the world got darker, but a lot of those things that may have started out as innocent little hijinks got dark and became permanent and became pervasive in terms of, like you said, drugs as a coping mechanism is an alien concept to a lot of people. Still, they really view it in an old school way of thinking that, oh, it's, you know, it's purely a choice for hedonistic pleasure, and you know that's that. So it's,
if that were the case, though, if that were the case, explain this to me. The average person, let's say, works, you know, a regular Joe job, 9 to 5, and what do they do on the weekend 90% of the time? They go out with their friends to bars and get drunk so that they can forget about all the BS
exactly.
that happened during the week.
Right.
So even though that might not be leading to self-destructive behavior or them ending up in, you know, a rehab institution, it's still using alcohol, which is a substance.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Can be addictive and can, you know, cause major effects on your personal life and your health. They're still using it as a coping mechanism. This is my problem. I mean, why are we looking at these things as though they're normalized? And why, I guess I have to ask, is the biggest question, why do people feel that they need to escape their life? What is so terrible about it in the first place?
No, you're absolutely right. I mean, those are the big that's the big question. I think the previous one, which is, you're right, is, you know, it's normalized because it's, you know, and I'm agreeing with you, by the way, 1,000%. But I mean, what I've come to see is that if enough people, you know, anything can be normalized if everybody just kind of goes along with it.
Yeah.
And you know, so I mean, you look at horrible things that have happened in our past human history and you go, you know, people will try and say, oh, I would have never put up with that if it had happened. No, you probably would have, because whatever you think is normal by definition. That's, and then it's a struggle sometimes if that doesn't match your values, or if you're like, hey, just because everybody's doing it, it's not making it right. And it takes, you know, you look at drinking and driving, I think has had a fairly successful culture change. It's not perfect, but it's much better than 35 years ago. You know, but same with smoking cigarettes, for instance. It's at least recognized as a addictive, but B, a health hazard, which 40 years ago it wasn't. 40 years ago it was perfectly normal to smoke during pregnancy. It was perfectly fine. These weren't you know, my mom was not an evil person by any stretch, or any of her friends. It wasn't like, oh, I don't care, right? But it took a long time. It took dialogue. It took people like yourself talking about things like mental health, depression, suicide prevention, and drugs, and so forth. These things, somebody has to be stepping up, and people have to join together and say, hey, you know what? It's not normal to do these things. Or if it is, you know, what's going on? What's beneath that, right?
That's exactly it.
And what I think is really cool is you're doing it in a sort of, A, you're vocal, which is great. You have an opinion and you're expressing it, which, you know, Godspeed. But you're also, you're living an alternative. You're saying, you know what, I'm not preaching from some sort of pulpit. I'm doing something, it works for me, and it seems to resonate with other people. And so maybe give that a try. Maybe music can be your outlet. Maybe some other art can be your outlet. Or maybe you don't need an outlet in the traditional escape sense, right? Like, I don't think what you're saying is, oh, you work hard all week and then play music on the weekend to escape. You've incorporated all these things into your life, and it is your life.
Right. And, yeah. And that's exactly it. I mean, you don't necessarily need an outlet. I just think that if, you know, for whatever reason, you're feeling like at the end of the week, you want to just find some sort of way to cope with whatever challenges you're facing. We all have challenges. It doesn't matter, you know, if you're working as a waitress or you're working as the CEO of a firm, right? Like, we all have different struggles and we all have personal burdens to bear, and that's not to be minimized ever. I'm just saying that I think that there are healthier ways that we can deal with such things and healthier ways to work through such issues, especially when, you know, tragedy befalls upon us, because that's a whole nother can of worms. And I don't like how normalized, you know, substances abuse has become in society, to the point where it's just like, oh yeah, you know, the opioid epidemic has reached epic proportions. It's like, huh, so you're saying that, but why are we not talking about solutions to it?
Yeah.
Why are we talking about, so let's create more places where people can drop off needles. Okay, so yes, I understand that's a need, and I get that, but why don't we try and actually deal with what the root of the problem is? I feel like it's just becoming Band-Aid solutions as opposed to talking about the symptoms that are behind all these things. And that, to me, is really problematic. And I mean, in my own life with my own struggles and my own, you know, self-esteem issues and depression and everything that I went through. You know, I've had some interesting struggles, particularly in personal relationships. It took a lot of soul searching and a lot of introspection, a lot of nights of crying, a lot of, you know, writing songs and just getting those emotions out in a healthy way for me to be able to get to where I am today. And I don't know if, you know, that's really challenging for people. They don't want to be able to peel off the layers of themselves in that way because it can be scary what they find underneath. Mm-hmm. And it's also really, really hard, right? It's harder to be able to get in touch with yourself on that intimate of a level and to be able to open up yourself and be vulnerable like that. It can be really scary. You might not want to come to terms with what is haunting you underneath the surface. And I get all of that. But covering it up is not the solution either, because one way or another, it's going to come out.
Yeah.
One way or another. And one way or another, it's not going to benefit you in the long run. And I would really like to, as I said, see more positive changes when it comes to talking about these issues openly and more healthy ways of dealing with them being encouraged. Because especially, I find it really, really scary, the amount of drug use that we're seeing anymore. Like, at least as it appears in the media, it seems like every time I turn around, it's like more and more higher reports. And that, to me, does not indicate that the problem is getting solved. It indicates that it's escalating, and we need to be talking about why that's the case.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, no, it's you know, in some ways, the coverage can be helpful because maybe it brings it to light to those folks that aren't, you know, because like it or not, there's a good chunk of society that is not affected the same way. I mean, everybody's affected, but I don't think they certainly don't live it the same way. So there's a, I want to say, a fairly significant piece of the population that really views this as a somebody else issue.
Yeah.
Until somehow they're impacted, and it's usually not in a very good way. But in the meantime, they really view it as somebody else's problem, or they view it as a nuisance to them, but nothing further. When in fact, however you look at all of this, at the end of the day, there's people underneath this. There's people that are struggling, people that maybe, you know, maybe don't know what to do, or maybe they do, but they don't have the resources, or in some cases they maybe have just stopped trying because, quite frankly, the hill's gotten too steep, and the attempts they made, you know, got them in more trouble or got them nowhere. You know, not everybody's got the same level of resiliency. You know, and everybody's experience is a little different. So,
absolutely.
You know, I think bringing it out in the open is a huge, big piece, because then at least, you know, conversations can happen. And even if there's disagreement, well, then we're talking about something, or and then we say, okay, well, we're at least acknowledging that there's a core issue here. Cause I think you're right that, yeah, there's a Band-Aid issue of, you know, of hygiene and safety around, say, a needle. That does need to be addressed. There's some, you know, there's definite issues and reasons to do certain things there, but by no means is that really doing anything for the underlying cause of, well, why is it that somebody is in that situation, and you know, and either doesn't want to get out or can't get out. Either way, that you know, that there's still a person. That's the thing that I think people need to never forget, and I hear that when I'm listening to you. So that's fantastic. And I think the fact that you're in the show tonight, like I said, so tonight you're at, well, you tell us, you have the info. Tell us where you are tonight.
So once again, we are performing as a part of Strummer Fest, which is, it's a festival that was named in honor of Joe Strummer, who is from the you know, obviously, epitomal punk band, The Clash. And I guess a member of his family actually sadly took his own life to suicide. So suicide prevention and talking about mental health issues was something that was near and dear to Strummer's heart in particular. So this whole celebration has been put together to raise proceeds for suicide prevention, to create bigger and better dialogues, once again, about mental health. And we are going to be taking the stage at Waterloo Public Square tonight, which is Friday, August 3rd at 9 p.m. But the whole event actually kicks off today at 2, and it's all day today as well as tomorrow. It's a really, really phenomenal event. It's free. Donations are obviously encouraged towards the charities that it's supporting. All ages are welcome, and we really hope to see a lot of people out there supporting this amazing cause.
That's fantastic. And then you're not done. So you're tonight in Waterloo, and then you come back to town next week. You're at Riverside Park in Cambridge for Cambridge Rib Fest. And what time and day are you on stage?
Yeah, that's right. So next Friday, exactly a week today, Friday, August 10th at 5:30 p.m., we'll be taking the main stage at Riverside Park for Cambridge Rotary Rib Fest. So that should be a lot of fun, too. Once again, free in all ages. So that's what we love. We love seeing people of all ages come out and just really enjoying the spirit of live music and great, great events that have, you know, food and fun for everybody. So that should be a good time, too.
That's fantastic. So I want to play a song of yours before we go. Do you want to tell us anything about it?
Sure. So the song that you're going to hear is called Empty. It's the third single off of my latest album called Onto the Floor. And as the title of the song would kind of allude to, it's about feeling, you know, very, very empty inside and feeling like, you know, you're kind of at the bottom of your life and picking up the pieces to try to find hope and the perseverance to be able to carry on. But at the end of the day, you know, as down in the dumps as we can all get and as many trials and tribulations as we can all face ourselves, the overall message is to know that, yes, you know, we can be in those really negative places, but know that you're never alone. There's somebody else out there that gets you, and don't ever let anybody or anything take away that last piece of hope that you might have in your life. It will always be there. You just have to believe in love and happiness and be able to push through it.
Empty from Rosa Cora Perry and Truth Untold.